You know what? I'm going to bring Zoe back on for a little intro, and then I'm going to leave you to it, leave you to your talk, and see you afterwards. How does that sound?
Okay, my brother.
Okay, my brother. Here's Zoe.
So this is a song that I recently added to my playlist, and I play it whenever I'm feeling down and I need a little boost. So I thought that I'd share it with everybody today.
Get a kick out of you, Zoe, so much. Thank you for being you exactly as you are and for the great blessing you have been for these decades to have you in my life. The thought of you is always uplifting. And the same for you, Sarah Dacey Charles, my sister. Your gentleness and the purity of your spirit that I witness is truly amazing. And as you know, I'll never have words to share the completeness of my gratitude and how blown away I am by you, Tiger, my brother Leo, and brother Steve. So much goes on in our individual ministries that I believe that sometimes we believe we're sharing what's important to share with everyone who needs to hear it. But this was my first time hearing about your stroke that you had last year and looking at you and being so grateful. I always have loved you and appreciated you, but to hear that testimony this morning, just a short while ago, it turned up the dial on my attitude of gratitude for how blessed I am. As you all know, my talk title today is My Cup Runneth Over. And my cup runs over right now even more than it did before the start of the service. Just seeing the beginning, the opening, the montage of our time together as a community at Symphony Space, seeing all of the faces, all of the beautiful children of God gathered together as a cloud of witnesses to how much we have to be grateful for. Seeing on some of those pieces of the montage, people whose time on earth has ended, individuals who we love who have returned to the realm of pure spirit with their mission accomplished. My cup began to run over even more. Just the reading of the daily word sure says it to me. My cup runneth over. Everything about Unity of New York has been a blessing in my life. I am grateful that you appreciate me, but I live in my appreciation of you, one by one and name by name. How blessed we are. How grateful I am that this welcome table has made me welcome. I'm grateful for the vision statement and the mission statement. My vision is the vision of this church, that I might live in a desire to have my prayer be, God bless everybody in the whole wide world without exception. I love doing the work. The fifth unity principle reminds me that knowing and understanding the laws of life that are presented in the four preceding principles of this great worldwide ministry called Unity is something that needs to be activated by me, that I must live this truth I know. Because to know the truth without operating in the truth is a sad thing. It's a great missed opportunity. The scripture reference that I gave is very simple. Just a few words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I would like us to be aware that the word that is interpreted as want is not an interpretation of desire. It is not in the Creator's plan for us not to have desires. Desires are one thing. The word that was used and interpreted as want means I shall never be in need. In other words, I shall not be out of my peaceful state of mind, my confident state of mind, my joyous state of mind of knowing that all I desire I have. This means, as we have been given it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meaning I shall never be in need. You know, sometimes we are in the illusory, mistaken state of mind of thinking that if I just had something I do not have right now, then I would feel complete. Then I would have my peace. Then I would have my joy. Then I would have pep in my step. No, all that we need has been provided. The Lord is my shepherd. When I was a child growing up in traditional religion, the word the Lord specifically and only referred to the Lord presence of Jesus Christ. I came to know actually through direct contact with that living spirit that the Lord is the I am presence, the I am power, and the I am consciousness within me. And that when I am guided and shepherded by the I am presence in me, the true self of my being, the Christ mind consciousness that I am, when I am guided and shepherded by that truth of my being, I am is God, I am as God in me, my true self. When I am shepherded by this I am presence, I shall never be in need. The truth is that all of us are living in a consistent, unstoppable truth of my cup runneth over. Many times we look at ourselves, if I have said, and have thought that something is missing. I'll tell you what's missing in those moments. Nothing at all but one thing, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of my cup runneth over. Surely I am blessed with more than I can hold for myself. I have to share it. I was thinking over the last few weeks of how grateful I am to have been born into the family that I was born into. I was thinking of how much I learned by observing my parents. And lately I've been thinking a lot about my father. My father worked at a factory, which was the only place in Springfield, Illinois during the 50s that hired so-called colored men to work in that factory. It was a very, very racist place to work. In the 50s, a 16-year-old white young man could call you boy and you couldn't say anything about it. Any white person could reach between the cheeks of your buttocks and say, "Where's your tail, monkey?" And there was nothing you could do about it. It was just the way it was. How then did my father demonstrate to all of us such an attitude of gratitude for simply being alive? It didn't matter what the conditions of being alive were. It didn't matter that our people could not go to the beach section of the lake. It didn't matter that we couldn't go places, have things, or do things. My father and mother were just too busy praising the Lord, too busy living out, "My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." My mother was a school teacher. She taught in a high school in Springfield, Illinois. She was the first accredited non-white person to become a school teacher in Springfield. She had quite the mind, quite the love of learning. One thing was decided early, that my mom was not going to peak at being a school teacher, peak with having her bachelor's degree. The family had other plans. She would get her master's. She would get her doctorate. Her education mattered more than anything other than God and family. So my dad had the family living on a very strict budget. He budgeted money for my mother's education above and beyond any other bills that had to be paid other than the mortgage, the lights, the gas, the essentials. Other than that, he stashed away money, and my mother did as well, from her job as a school teacher and his job at the at Alice Chambers factory, where they made tractors and farm equipment. Of course, being a school teacher, my mother did not work in the summer when school took its break. And most of the summers, throughout my young childhood life, Alice Chambers would put everyone on a break from working. They called it a layoff. They were never aware whether the layoff would be for 1 month or two. And those were the trying times. Still, though, my dad was nothing but the picture of "My cup runneth over, and look how blessed I truly am." My dad always spoke a very good prayer of grace at the breakfast, lunch, and dinner table in our home. But it was during those times where there was the appearance of a bit of lack or limitation that my father preached his blessings over the food. I can remember sometimes in the summer when my mother wasn't working, when my father was laid off from work and when he would not touch the money for mom's education, where some of our dinners were put together like this. There was a place that my dad knew where he could get chicken. Chicken necks and chicken backs. He could get 4 chicken necks and 4 chicken backs for $5. That was our protein. I can remember times looking down at our plates at the dinner table. There would be a half of a potato on each of our plates. There would be a chicken neck, half of a chicken back, and some gravy. And my father would preach. He would preach rather than say grace. I remember him lifting his hands in the sky. I remember the tears running down his face as he told God what he needed God to know. I am your grateful servant, and I am more than grateful for this bounty which you have set before us. Bless the hands that labored for it. Bless the hands that prepared it. And bless us to know how rich we are right now. There are people who have nothing. There are people who have found a piece of fruit to share with their families, whose eyes are lifted and hands are raised, giving thanks to God for how good God is and how abundant God's supply. My father talked about who we were compared to those who had less. He prayed that each of his children would know what he knew, that always and in all ways my cup runneth over. He demonstrated, as he made contact with the power that was within him, he demonstrated to us that our daddy, who we thought was a shepherd, saw himself as a sheep with a shepherd inside. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never be in the consciousness of need. I will stay in an attitude of gratitude. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the consciousness of my abundance, in the consciousness of my blessedness forever. I was thinking recently about my automobile accident, how broken my body temple was, how many words of warning I was getting from the surgeons and the doctors who were assisting me back into health. I was told if I moved one way or another, or this or that happened, I would be disabled for the rest of my life. They assured me that even if my healing process went well, I would never be the same. They had heard from our conversations how I loved to go outside at 7 a.m. to do my gardening in the cool of the dawn of the morning day. How much I liked to lift and tote and dig and weed. They let me know that such things would probably never be possible again, but assured me that I should have an attitude of gratitude if I were simply able to walk and to lift up a 3-pound bag of sugar. I had an attitude of gratitude. I told my brother Timothy, I want you to take this check and withdraw some money from my account. I want you to take it to the newspaper, and I want you to pay for a half-page ad, my commentary on my current situation. He got the ad. The ad showed a picture of my car, crumbled up, looking like no one could have gotten cut out of that vehicle. there was the photograph. These were the words I testified as my truth. Coming home from church in Boston on Route 2. Hit black ice. Lost complete control of my car. Knew that these were my final moments of being on the beautiful blue marble we call life on planet Earth. Jaw broken in two places. Elbow broken. Shoulder broken. Seven ribs broken. Neck broken. And what has been referred to as a severe concussion. How blessed am I? I am blessed beyond measure. An attitude of gratitude goes a long way. Counting your countless blessings is nourishment to the soul. It heals. It puts back together what the professionals have told you could not be put back together. 2 years later, here I am. And for the last full year and 3 months, I've been able to get up out of my bed like a teenager popping up to go to school. I've been able to get out into my yard. I can dig, I can shovel, I can tote, I can carry, I can plant, I can weed. I can load the back of my car with lumber to do a project that has come to my mind in one of my dreams, begging to be brought into manifest reality by me. Coming home from New York, hit black ice, lost complete control of my car, jaw broken in two places, seven ribs broken, elbow broken, shoulder broken, neck broken, severe concussion. How blessed am I? I am blessed beyond measure. My cup runneth over. There's a song we sang in the Pentecostal church. A song that when I first was introduced to it, I knew was a song whose lyrics I would need to grow into having as my sincere testimony. And I'm delighted to say that I have grown into them. These are those lyrics. I've had many tears and sorrows, many questions for tomorrow. Many times I thought I could not make it through. Oh, but through every situation, God gives me blessed consolation and lets me know my trials come to make me strong. So, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for every trial I've made it through. You see, church, if I never had a problem, I'd never know my God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. Through it all, there has been one presence, one power in the universe and in my life, God, the good, all powerful. so I believe I'll keep on. You see, the race is not given to the swift. Neither is it given to the strong, but to those who endure to the end. Church, be not weary in your well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Amen. The universe is conspiring to bless me every day, in every way, moment to moment, heartbeat after heartbeat. The universe is conspiring to bless me. It is devoted to blessing me with all that I expect to be, to do, and to have. My word is law, and the universe responds to every word I speak, aloud or in the quietness of my heart. Every thought is pregnant to bring forth that which it is focused upon. And so right here and right now, I am glad to remember the universe is conspiring to bless me. The universe is totally devoted to blessing me with the desires and the expectations of my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in the sight of that which I desire and the creator and provider of all I wish to be, to do, and to have. Yes, the universe is conspiring to bless me. The universe is devoted to blessing me. For I am the holy child of the one powerful, all-knowing, ever-present presence we call God. I am the created one of the one creator. And so, the universe is conspiring to bless me. What it is that I am desiring, I will be blessed to have. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the one creator of the created ones. I relax in the peace of this knowing. Amen.
Waiting for me that I call my own.
Power of your talk, your meditation, and that song from The Greatest Showman sung by Zoe. Oh.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We're both in a different place than we were when this all started, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, we are.
Brother, oh. Thank you. For being alive. Thank you for making it through. Mm. Thank you for being enhanced by your experience. Mm. Thank you for being a living testament to my cup runneth over. I love you more than I ever have. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Unity Church of New York. Thank you, God, for directing it all, orchestrating it all, and shepherding it all. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Carlos. Oh, we take a breath, we take a moment to know that we are in the presence of God, and we are simply grateful. Hallelujah, my friend, my brother.
Hallelujah.
Farewell for now. Until next time, I love you. All right. Namaste.
Namaste.
Wow.